Welcome to Dr. Red Says. Our show is all about taking charge of your mental, physical, and spiritual health. We'll answer your questions about the various healing modalities, and most of all, we're going to have some fun. Now, here's your host, Dr. Red.
Good afternoon, America. Well, I don't know, is it gloomy where you are? Because San Diego, we do have our June gloom. But I got to tell you, June gloom in San Diego is a pretty wonderful thing. So that's not a complaint. My son was telling me about the Pride Parade in Baltimore. And people went out for that thing and they got burnt sunburned to it crisp. So we're kind of enjoying our June gloom and I hope you're enjoying your day. Because I have the most spectacular guest with me. And she pretty much has the answer for everything. Think about this. Are you in pain? Are you burned out? Is your relationship falling apart? No comment. Are you unhappy in your job or career? Do you have a weight problem? Don't we all? Do you have health problems? Don't we all? Do you just feel miserable? Well, cotton picking, I found somebody who can fix all of that. That's amazing. And no drugs, no shots. That's even more amazing. So I would like to introduce you to this most wonderful person. She is my angel of all over healing. Because you know everybody that's on my show is an angel. This is Dr. Judith Sweck. She has always been interested in the mind-body connection and how physical and emotional health connect to each other. She's observed the mind-body healing and she's even made her own techniques, which she's going to tell us about. So I don't want to take any more time. Everybody, please welcome Dr. Judith Sweck.
Hi, hey, Dr. How are you doing, Sarah?
I'm great, thank you.
I'm really happy to be on your show because you and I share a mission, which is to help as many people as we can heal at every level so that they get unstuck and manifest their soul missions and experience the fullness of life, right?
Absolutely. And they need to know that nothing is impossible because I had the most impossible thing on earth, which was a killer glioblastoma. And all the doctors said, it's going to kill you. Lay down.
Yes, nothing's impossible. I'm fond of what I call shocking the doctors. Yeah, that gives me a thrill. Yes. And the other thing that I've noticed is there are a lot of people out there who just assume that you have to suffer. You don't have to suffer.
They're not Jewish like me, are they?
Yeah, some of them. But I'm shocked to say that it's probably a problem in the entire collective unconscious, where people just think that life requires suffering, involves suffering. So if they're suffering, they don't try to do anything about it because they just think, well, you know, that's just life. But no, I think that the life can be managed and can be healed you don't have to suffer, really.
Enable the non-healing because I am from a Jewish background. I'm a Jew for Jesus now. It's a whole other story. But my mother enjoyed poor health all of her life, seriously enjoyed poor health, and decided she was going to die of cancer, and she did. And seriously, she said she wanted to put on her tombstone, "See, I told you so."
Oy, God.
Seriously.
Well, there you have it.
Why would you do that?
Something negative. Not a great idea. You know, we can manifest, but we have to clear our blocks. And I think it's always a good idea to manifest something positive.
Amen
to
that.
So that's why I developed a healing methodology called Healing from the Body Level Up.
That is so cool.
H-E-L-U. Healing from the Body Level Up. And my background is I'm a biomedical scientist. I have a PhD in biochemistry and years of postdoctoral training in human immunology.
Wow,
and
so
I decided to create a mind-body healing methodology, which I called, of course, Healing from the Body Level Up. Get it? H-E-L-U.
Yeah.
That would actually reproduce healing results amongst a great number of people. Because at the time, and this is over 36 years ago, I'm sort of dating myself at this point, I really felt that there was something to mind-body healing, but it wasn't reproducible. It was kind of hit or miss. You know, people would report miraculous results, but not everybody got the same results that had the same problem that went for the same treatment. So why not, right?
That's good.
Right.
So they didn't get the memo, and you kind of have written the memo now.
Yes. In fact, I've written laboratory protocols that I've trained people to use, and they can use it and get the same results as I do. Right? Let's spread the light. Let's spread the healing. So basically, what I did was I realized that we all have a soul and it's in a body. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, and then I asked the question, because scientists ask a lot of questions. We think in questions, in fact. Well, why is our soul in our bodies? And, you know, I'm not the first person to consider this, but after I thought about it deeply for many years, I came to the conclusion that our souls are in our body so that we can do our soul mission and live a full life. And if that's not happening somewhere, then there's a block, right? There's something interfering with you.
I said
about looking for the blocks. And I trained in neuro-linguistic programming, which at the time was the state-of-the-art mental technology. You know, get it, biotechnology, high technology, mental technology, right?
Yep, me too.
And so in neuro-linguistic programming, I discovered that we all have an unconscious mind, which I thought was quite interesting and fascinating and surprising because I had been unconscious of it, get it?
And
so I'm like, oh, well, the problem is in the unconscious mind. People are carrying damage patterns that are running their behaviors and their reactions and causing them to sabotage themselves. How are you going to communicate between the conscious mind and the unconscious mind? And then how are you going to heal the parts of you that need healing so they don't run you in a wrong direction? So neuro-linguistic programming taught me tools and techniques to do that. And then I started a private practice and started working with people and helping them find their blocks and remove them using NLP techniques. But then I had a client come to me who said, oh, she knew a healer who got her through her stuff faster than I did. And I went, oh, right then. And I took her training, right?
Okay.
Not to be left behind, because I have to be state of the art, don't you know?
Okay.
So I took her training. And I learned applied kinesiology and a little bit of polarity therapy and cranial sacral. And that's where I learned muscle testing. Muscle testing, for those of you who don't know what it is using the body as a lie detector machine. And rather than using a machine with electrodes to read out the true and false questions, you can use arm strength testing to get the same answers because the body is the machine and it gives you the same answers. So I started talking to the body and started talking to the soul. So I taught people's conscious minds how to send questions into the body to areas that they are not consciously aware of to get the answers from the muscle testing.
You know, and
so
people,
I taught people how to send questions to their soul and deepest wisdom, and how to send questions into their body, and how to send questions to their unconscious mind. And I started basically mapping, because my strength is, of course, research, I started mapping damage patterns. And I found that people had trauma that interfered with them and phobias and dysfunctional family system patterns. Oh, boy, that causes a lot of trouble. And then I found cultural and religious brainwashing patterns. Wow, you can imagine what that does or doesn't do for people. And I started mapping these patterns and developing protocols. So over the years, I basically accumulated, 200 to 300 types of patterns. And I developed a menu of 68 techniques, because I'm always taking classes and learning new things and adding them.
Wow.
So basically, when somebody comes in, I ask them to ask their soul, what's their highest priority goal? I have them give me a list of goals. So it might be heal PTSD. It might be get happily married. It might be make more money. It might be cure this rash.
Yeah.
Right?
Or
cure this allergy. So whatever it is, we muscle test and ask permission of their deepest wisdom, and then we find out what's causing the problem and whether it's running at the conscious level, the unconscious level, the body, or the soul levels. And then we map out the pattern, and then we ask their deepest wisdom what's the best technique to use. And we use a technique from my menu or we use a technique from their menu because, you know what, people come in with skills, right?
Yeah.
People know how to meditate. People have done Reiki. People have done energy psychology techniques like emotional freedom technique or thought field therapy. That's on my menu. So basically, I say, this is HBLU Mystery Theater.
Yeah.
You're Sherlock Holmes, I'm Watson. We're Holmes and Watson. The attitude is inquiring minds want to know what is going on in there. And we go in, find the problem, and heal it. And the shortest pattern on my list takes 10 seconds to clear.
Wow.
And the longest pattern takes about 20 sessions, and most of them take about 20 minutes to an hour and a half, which is why I typically have hour and a half sessions. And when I say clear something, I mean make it go away so that it's gone and it never comes back, and you don't have to do anything else to keep it gone. It's just gone, and you never have to think about it again, and you're cleared and moving right along, right?
Have we tried telling this to the VA? Because we have 22 people or more a day committing suicide from PTSD. That is just so depressing.
Well, here's the thing. Several years ago, it was brought to my attention at a conference, and I'm part of a larger organization called ACEP, the Association for Comprehensive Energy Psychology. That's my professional organization. And at a meeting, we discussed how PTSD was killing people, but that you could use energy psychology techniques to clear the PTSD triggers and to heal the PTSD symptoms. And they suggested that we start doing research on it in order to influence or convince the FDA, or not the FDA, the Veterans Administration, that they should entertain the use of these techniques to help the veterans. This is, about 10 years ago. So I came back to my practice, and don't you know, because this is how the universe works, that day that I came back to work, I got a phone call from one of my clients who said, I have a good friend with very bad PTSD and traumatic brain injury, and he's 100% disabled, and I was wondering if you could treat him. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, this is a sign. So I said, all right, come on in. So she brought him in. Meanwhile, I started thinking about what is the structure of PTSD. And I thought to myself, well, if you think like a body, because I'm always thinking like a body, we have a nervous system that's programmed with a fight-or-flight reflex, right?
Yep.
And whenever we have a traumatic experience that triggers off, by definition, your fight-or-flight reflex, that memory gets stored in your body. And if you don't release it using a body-level technique, it gets stuck in your nervous system and your brain. And then what happens is that later, because your body's always vigilant for danger because it has a survival instinct, which is why we live as long as we do, later, something in the environment could trigger a memory of what was happening in the first situation, and all of a sudden, your body's having a phobic reaction,
okay.
And your conscious mind is sitting there going, what's going on? Why is my body reacting like this? Why am I having such a strong fear reaction? Why am I having such a strong shame reaction? Why am I suddenly so angry when it's not a big deal?
Dr.
And
Judith,
it's because you have a memory that's stored in your body, and something later on triggered this because it wasn't erased properly, right?
Yeah, we have a minute till break, so when we come back, you want to tell us how you do get this all sorted out? Because I know there's a one-time PTSD, one-time incident, then there's repeated exposure PTSD, and it's so fascinating. Can we talk about that when we come back from the break?
Absolutely.
Okay, and we will be right back with Dr. Judith Swack, our angel of all over therapy from the body up.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
If you've got no success, perhaps you need Success No Therapy. Dr. Red, a.k.a. Dr. Sarah Young, uses hypnotherapy, Reiki, aromatherapy, EFT, NLP, angel healing, card reading, and even basic common sense in order to find out what you need and how to get you there. Dr. Red is also a psychic medium, and if you're outside Southern California, Dr. Red can present distance healing sessions. For more information about these and other services that Dr. Red offers, visit drsarahmyoung.net or call 858-860-8255. 800-480-0461. FaceTime and Skype sessions are also available.
Here's a question for you. You got no success? I've got the therapy. I'm Dr. Sarah Young, founder of Success No Therapy, and I'll help you define your success and choose the therapy that'll get it for you. You name it, hypnotherapy, aromatherapy, timeline therapy, NLP, EFT, crystals, angel healing, and more. They're all available anywhere in the world. Like my radio show, Dr. Red Says, we are here online 24/7. Visit www.drsarahmyoung.com or www.facebook.com/drredsays to arrange an appointment, or call 858-860-0461. Blessings.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
You are listening to Dr. Red Says. If you have a question or comment about the show today, we invite you to call into the program at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send an email to drredsays@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back, y'all. I hope you got your pens and paper ready and you can take some notes, because this is one of our groundbreaking episodes with someone who is miraculous. I mean, miraculous. She can heal pain from the body up and the soul down, and she can help you with weight problems. She can help you with health problems. Wow. So please join us again with Dr. Judith Swack. And we were talking about how you can heal PTSD. And I know there's a single incident PTSD, and then there's one where you've had more than one trauma. And so how do you do that? How do you heal PTSD with those two types?
All right. So first of all, what we do is we ask what your symptoms are, right?
Uh-huh.
And so then we set up a goal. The goal is to heal the PTSD symptoms, or the goal is to sleep through the night, or the goal is cure the insomnia, or the goal is heal the depression, you know, whatever the goal is. Or be happy, you know, that would be good. And then we find out that what's interfering on the goal is a trauma. And then we see what kind of trauma it is. So there's loss trauma, there's violence trauma, and there's different kinds of trauma with different levels of severity. And so if you have a very, very severe trauma, but it was just a one-time incident, all we do is go back to that scene and treat that, and it's done. And I have a paper on treating trauma that
so
I published
to me, that's
in
a cure.
1993 or something like that. Anyway,
I have some veterans who are convinced that you cannot cure PTSD, but yes, you can. You're doing that.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So let me explain PTSD and how it's, really, I don't see one incident as causing PTSD all that often, really. It's usually multiple stacked trauma. Remember, I told you that people have a fight or flight reaction to a trauma, and it gets stored in their body.
Yeah.
And it doesn't get released properly because they don't know the right techniques. So what happens is, year after year after year, they keep having traumatic reactions to a theme. So, for example, in the military, you can have military PTSD because of repeated exposures to physical danger.
That's right? Pretty dangerous, yeah.
Yeah, pretty dangerous. And
for me,
and can have early childhood neglect and abuse history trauma. And just from the title, you know that it's a chronic, repeated traumatic situation, right?
Yeah. Like I said, for me, it's just like three people hit me, one on the freeway, one head on, and right near my house. So people keep crashing into my car, and I'm scared witless to drive.
Exactly. So you might have car accident history trauma,
huh.
Right? Because now you associate driving with crashing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm paying attention.
So the interesting thing about PTSD is that it's a history of trauma stacked up in the body. So I named that version of trauma, I named it history trauma. And people have PTSD. What happens is they experience a series of traumatic incidents, a series, right, over a period of time, and at some point the body cannot hold it anymore. So you have one too many examples, one too many experiences of that type of trauma, which is the straw that breaks the camel's back, and your nervous system melts down in about 24 to 72 hours. So all of a sudden, you're doing nothing in particular, and you have a panic attack, and your body is, your heart is beating fast, and you're overwhelmed with fear and anxiety, and you think you're dying, and you get rushed to the hospital thinking that you're having a stroke or something, and they tell you that there's nothing physically wrong with you, you had a panic reaction. And now that's frightening because you all of a sudden your body went out of control, your conscious mind doesn't control it, and now you're afraid that your body's going to go whack on you because you can't trust your body because it just did that weird thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? So it turns out that the unconscious mind has a protective mechanism called a blocking mechanism. You've heard of blocked memories of sexual abuse, for example?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So it turns out that the body memory of trauma is in the body level. And your conscious mind is your rational mind. And when you have too much trauma, your unconscious mind flips a switch. It's like a circuit breaker, called a blocking mechanism, that blocks knowledge of that trauma from your conscious mind. So it puts a block between your body memory of trauma and your conscious mind because it's afraid that this wave, this upwelling of trauma is going to drown your conscious mind and you're going to go crazy or you're going to be paralyzed somehow and your conscious mind needs to function, right? So you get this block put in. Now what happens is you have all these symptoms of trauma and you know, like addictions and body pain and dizziness and depression and insomnia and tinnitus and all these things. And
yeah,
your conscious mind doesn't know why.
You have to avoid whatever it is.
Can't get to it anyway. So the trick is to muscle test, ask the person's deepest wisdom if they have history trauma, and they'll muscle test, yes, they have history trauma, then name the history trauma. And people can have, you know, 3 to 5 versions of it, maybe 6, 7 versions of it. You have to name them all. And once you get the name of it, like military history trauma, for example, or relationship history trauma, or mentally ill family history trauma, or neglect history trauma, or my mother's cancer history trauma. In other words, you can tell from the titles what they went through repeatedly, and you can just tell from the title what their life had been like over a period of time. And once you name it, here's the trick. The trick is you can't go into those memories and just clean them out because they're blocked, and they're blocked for a reason. The reason is so it doesn't overwhelm you and re-traumatize you. So you don't try to barrel into those memories. What you do is you find where in your body is the part of you that did the blocking. And once you find the part that did the blocking, and I call it blocking part, you heal the trauma in the blocking part that it feels about even thinking about that stretch of history.
Wow.
So you don't ever go into that stretch of history. You don't re-traumatize the client. You just talk to the blocking part, and you heal the blocking part. And we use techniques like EFT tapping, for example, meridian tapping techniques, applied kinesiology techniques. We use those kind of techniques to release the trauma from the blocking part.
Wow.
And what's really interesting is as you heal the blocking part, all of the trauma energy that was stuck in your nervous system from the actual traumas drains out of your body spontaneously without ever having to go back to a specific memory. It just drains out.
Now, that's amazing. So they don't really have to relive all that hideousness that's going on.
Nope. They don't have to relive a single moment. It just drains right out.
Now, I know that I hate to drive. I also know that I have this ridiculous cough. They're calling it cough variant asthma, but nobody can find it. Nobody can treat it. So I'm wondering, listening to you, maybe I should be talking to my throat chakra or talking to my lungs and saying, why are you doing that?
Exactly. Is that possible? Exactly. You know, I found that asthma was caused by three things. One is an emotional reaction.
Huh.
Right? A strong emotional reaction can cause asthma. The second thing is physical injury trauma to your lungs from inhaling some toxic substance that irritates lungs or from inhaling cold air. I actually had somebody who had asthma. The physical injury trauma was a repetitive stress injury from exhaling forcefully about 20 to 30 times a day. Guess what? She was an inhalation therapist, and she had a bunch of patients who had cystic fibrosis. And they would come to her, and she would test their lung function. And since they were children, she would demonstrate herself how to exhale forcefully into the measuring machine. But the point is, she did it so many times a day that finally her lungs went over threshold and said, you know what, I'm so irritated, I can't take it anymore. And her lungs basically started reacting. And you know when she would get asthma? When she would laugh.
Me too.
Because when you laugh, that's a strong exhale, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it triggered the memory of lung irritation from the exhale. So we went back and treated the moment she went over threshold from exhaling too strongly into the lung machine, and we did the tapping techniques and so on and so forth, treated it, and the asthma went away. Now, the third trigger for asthma is external allergies, right?
Yeah.
So you can have have hay fever, you're breathing in pollen, this, that, that's irritating to the lungs, and then they start getting mucousy and watery, and shutting down, trying to protect against the irritation from the pollen. And so we can treat that with the same kind of technique. So, again, asthma is really quite curable.
Oh, how amazing. Because, I mean, I theoretically was born with it. That means 71 years I've been having this stupid cough and crazy things, and nobody knows why. But
Let me tell you something interesting. I had terrible allergies and asthma during the summertime from the time I was born. And my earliest memories at age 3 were, like, sweating and wheezing in the summer at night, lying in bed, sweating and wheezing in my bed and trying to sleep. And, you know, I took allergy shots and medicine, and it didn't really help.
No.
And then when I was 21 years old, they finally came up with an inhaler that actually worked to prevent the asthmatic reactions, thank God. But then when I was 30 years old, that's when I started doing this mind-body healing stuff. I had a session with a neurolinguistic program trained nurse, and we actually treated my birth trauma. She was trained in rebirthing.
Oh, we got
an NLP technique.
It was one session.
Now, that day, all of my allergic symptoms disappeared, every single one of them.
Have to talk about that when we come back. We only have 30 seconds now, but that's birth trauma just hit me because I was a blue baby. I had the cord wrapped around my neck.
Oh, and there you go.
Wow. So when we come back, we got to talk about this. This is so fascinating. I'm so excited to have you. And we will be right back with Dr. Judith Sweat.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
If you've got no success, perhaps you need Success No Therapy. Dr. Red, a.k.a. Dr. Sarah Young, uses hypnotherapy, Reiki, aromatherapy, EFT, NLP, angel healing, card reading, and even basic common sense in order to find out what you need and how to get you there. Dr. Red is also a psychic medium, and if you're outside Southern California, Dr. Red can present distance healing sessions. For more information about these and other services that Dr. Red offers, visit drsarahmyoung.net or call 858-860-4461. FaceTime and Skype sessions are also available.
Here's a question for you. You got no success? I've got the therapy. I'm Dr. Sarah Young, founder of Success No Therapy. and I'll help you define your success and choose the therapy that'll get it for you. You name it, hypnotherapy, aromatherapy, timeline therapy, NLP, EFT, crystals, angel healing, and more. They're all available anywhere in the world. Like my radio show, Dr. Red Says, we are here online 24/7. Visit www.drsarahmyoung.com or www.facebook.com/drredsays to arrange an appointment, or call 858-860-0461. Blessings.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
You are listening to Dr. Red Says. If you have a question or comment about the show today, we invite you to call into the program at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send an email to drredsays@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
And we're back with our angel of all over healing. And this is just getting so exciting. And I know we've booked for two sessions, which is cool because you cannot possibly talk about all of these wonderful things and theories and ideas. And I could have her on every week, you know, and just keep the series going and just with Dr. Swack. So we were talking about birth trauma. And, you know, a lot of people poo-poo that. And they say, well, everybody gets born. Get over it. Wait. So what about this birth trauma?
Well, first of all, remember, think like a body, healing from the body level up. And bodies like to survive, and we have this fight-or-flight instinct that gets triggered off if something traumatic happens. So think about this. You're a baby, and you're stuck in the, you know, you're stuck in the birth canal because you're big, and you're stuck, and you can't even move, and bodies like to move. And then you get squeezed and pushed and squeezed and pushed out this little opening, right, that stretches and stretches, and then the cord could be wrapped around your neck. It might be a long birth, so it's hard for you to get out. And meanwhile, your placenta is being squeezed and your oxygen supply is getting threatened. And there you are. Think like a body. So birth is hard on babies as well as mothers, right?
See,
unless
I don't remember.
Sort of drop out. That would be lucky. So my particular birth was a very long birth. It took, you know, 24 hours. My mother wanted to be awake for the whole thing because she wanted to do, you know, sort of natural childbirth for the romantic beauty of it, although, you know, childbirth is not really all that romantic or beautiful per se.
No.
It's just
it
kind
hurts.
Of muscular and, like, effort. But anyway, so she couldn't push me out and took forever, and finally the doctor, and she was getting exhausted, and finally the doctor said, I'm putting her out. So he gave her an anesthetic and put her out and somehow got me out of there, which I don't know because my father wasn't in the room because in those days, dads didn't sit in the room. And somehow I came out. But I had birth trauma. And the way it showed up was I had, of course, I had allergies and asthma that started at the same time I was born. So my birthday every year would trigger the memory, and then the rest of the summer I'd have allergies and asthma. But it also was combined with a phobia of elevators. I had claustrophobia in elevators. Now think about it. There
it's
you are, into a little space. You get into an elevator, and you're afraid that you're going to be trapped. You'll never get out, and you're going to die in there.
Wow.
Right? Or you run out of oxygen, whatever. And so I was triggered into having, you know, claustrophobia in elevators.
Wow.
So that day that I did the rebirthing and healed the birth trauma, and basically told myself that I was going to come out okay, and I had angels watching over me, and it would be fine, and I would be, you know, I'd have a lovely life and so on and so forth. I came out and basically went back to work that day, got on the elevator, and noticed I did not have a reaction. I had no anxiety about being in the elevator.
And that is cool.
Yeah, and then, you know, a couple weeks later, I realized I hadn't had a single allergic reaction, and I hadn't taken any allergy medicine. And then I'm like, oh, my God, right? So my mother said she really believed in my work. And I'm like, really? You believe in my work? Why, Mom? And she said, because she has memories of listening to me wheeze through two doors. In other words, my bedroom was on one side of the hallway and her bedroom was on the other side, and with our bedroom doors closed, she could hear me wheezing through the night.
Wow.
And then I was cured just all of a sudden, and she's like, oh my goodness, I really believe in your work, because apparently, and I hadn't thought of this, right? Apparently my poor mother was suffering because I was suffering.
Aw.
I know, right? When you're a kid, who thinks about your mother? So she was really quite happy that I was not suffering anymore.
That's true, but when you think about the PTSD patients, and I do a free clinic once a month, but that's not all that helpful, just, you know, 4 hours once a month. You need the whole family, because if you do help the person, they need to go back to a healthy environment, and they need to know how to deal with any upsets that might bring themselves up, because we're like an onion. We have all these layers.
Well,
so,
you know something? I am glad you brought that up, because I want to talk about diagnosis shock. So diagnosis shock, all right?
Yeah.
So somebody gets a diagnosis of something serious, like PTSD, which everybody thinks is really serious because they don't know that you can clear it in 1 to 6 sessions. So they think, oh, my God, you're stuck with it forever, and it's really serious.
You're crazy.
Or let's say you get a diagnosis of a brain tumor like you had, or you get a diagnosis of cancer or a diagnosis of heart disease or something. Diabetes, right? Something bad. Glaucoma, God knows. So you get a bad diagnosis, and of course what happens is your unconscious mind, even your conscious mind says, oh my gosh, what could this possibly mean? And it goes right into fight or flight and death, right?
Oh.
Right? Oh my God, I have cancer, I'm going to die, that's it. So now you're shocked. Now it turns out that anybody who's close to you will also be shocked. Because they're like, oh, my God, I'm going to lose my wife. She's going to die of cancer.
Right.
So, you know, loss trauma. So what happens is people go to the doctor. They get a bad diagnosis. They shock out. And then, of course, when you shock out, you can't hear anything. Your brain goes off. So now the doctor is explaining to you the treatment options. And, of course, you're not a qualified oncologist to decide on your treatment options. But, of course, he's going to ask you to make the decision, which is ridiculous. Because what? How are you trained to know? And then, and you can't hear anything he's saying because you're in shock. So then they ask people to come in with a support person. Come in with your wife, come in with your daughter, come in with somebody, because they know that the patient isn't going to be able to hear what you have to say because they're shocked out. What they don't realize is your support person comes in and they shock out too.
Yeah, that's true. Wow.
Yes. So now you've got a team of people who are all shocked out, being asked to make serious decisions about your health care that you're not trained to do. Great. Good job.
Yeah, seriously, because I refused chemo or radiation. I mean, it was brain cancer. I don't want to kill any more brain cells. And everybody
exactly.
said, do this, do that. And I'm going, no, I know me. I don't want to do that. But yeah, my husband is going, I'm going to lose my wife. Take the treatments. You know, it's
exactly.
hard.
Exactly. Exactly. And because you're never certain, with cancer, you're never certain. If you're afraid to feel doubt and uncertainty, and if you have a phobia of that, then you over-treat to deal with the doubt and uncertainty.
I think that's okay if you may be missing, no offense to breast cancer, if you have to have breast reconstruction, that's okay. But you kill off too much of your brain, it's not okay.
Well, it's one thing to treat locally, to treat breast cancer locally, but again, if you're going to do chemo or radiation, there are other parts of your body involved, right?
That's true.
So again, you know, it's a balancing act. So it's a balancing act, but when I have people with cancer and chemo, I treat them to tolerate the treatment so that it does very little harm to their normal tissues and really targets the cancer. So I had a guy who had lymphoma, and he would get a treatment. He had to have 6 treatments 1 week apart, and every time he'd have a treatment, he'd have an allergic reaction to the treatment. He'd spend the next 3 days in hives.
Oh.
Yep, unable to go back to work and so on and so forth. So after 2 treatments, I said, well, come here, let's treat the allergic reaction to the medication so that you can tolerate the medication. So I treated him for his allergy, because remember, I treat allergies and asthma, right? I treated him for the allergy to the chemotherapy treatment, and then for his next four sessions, he didn't have hives.
Wow.
Right? And the chemo worked, and he was cured. So what can I tell you?
That is cool, because if you are going to go the chemo route, I'm a Star Trek lover, and so I have little nanobots in my body, and whenever they see a cancer cell, they kill it and send it out my elimination system. But if you don't feel that strongly about something, it is nice to have somebody who can help you tolerate those treatments, because I think sometimes they're worse than the disease.
Yes, it's a very fine line, right? Fine line. Yeah. But yeah, so far, I've been able to treat a lot of things that are, you know, according to Western medicine, untreatable. However, to be fair, I cannot cure cancer with HBLU alone. I can't. So it's been my experience that to cure cancer, people need Western medical treatment of some sort. But then what I do is considered like complementary. In other words, I help them recover from the chemo or surgery. I do pre-treatment protocol that allows them to tolerate it and utilize things properly and recover more quickly and so on and so forth. So
there's no way that this show is saying don't go to a doctor, because honestly, if they had not removed my brain tumor, I would be dead. So yes, doctors do wonderful things. I call MDs mechanical doctors, because they can work on the mechanics of your body, but mm-hmm. you're going a little bit beyond. And we only have a minute, so we can't talk about how you got into beyond and how you're going to continue the beyond, but we can when we come back. So when we come back, I want to talk about how a scientist like you, and it's kind of like me, I was pre-med and I was going to be a doctor until I started collapsing every time I got near formaldehyde. So I switched professions. But how can somebody so scientific be into such, what they call it, esoteric sciences, but they work? When we come back, we're going to talk about some things we do every week, and then Dr. Swack's connections with the we call it the universal consciousness. We will be right back.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
If you've got no success, perhaps you need success no therapy. Dr. Red, a.k.a. Dr. Sarah Young, uses hypnotherapy, Reiki, aromatherapy, EFT, NLP, angel healing, card reading, and even basic common sense in order to find out what you need and how to get you there. Dr. Red is also a psychic medium, and if you're outside Southern California, Dr. Red can present distance healing sessions. For more information about these and other services that Dr. Red offers, visit drsarahmyoung.net or call 858-860 0461. FaceTime and Skype sessions are also available.
Here's a question for you. You got no success? I've got the therapy. I'm Dr. Sarah Young, founder of Success No Therapy, and I'll help you define your success and choose the therapy that'll get it for you. You name it, hypnotherapy, aromatherapy, timeline therapy, NLP, EFT, crystals, angel healing, and more. They're all available anywhere in the world. Like my radio show, Dr. Red Says, we are here online 24/7. Visit www.drsarahmyoung.com or www.facebook.com/drredsays to arrange an appointment, or call 858-860-0461. Blessings.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
You are listening to Dr. Red Says. If you have a question or comment about the show today, we invite you to call into the program at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send an email to drredsays@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back with our angel of everything you need to know about living in your meat suit or your body, Dr. Judith Swack. And you know, every week we do our wonderful card reading. This is the Angels and Gemstone Guardian cards. I have no connection with the lady who wrote them, but they are incredible. And so I shuffle them all up, and I ask my question for the show, and the card jumps out. This card this week, the crystal is Chrysocolla. And what it says about Chrysocolla is, are you dealing with an inflamed or unbalanced situation? Oh boy. Do you have imbalances in your body? Balancing your emotions through journaling, exercise, and healthy communication is good. Take care of your body, mind, and spirit. Yoga and meditation are beneficial. That's amazing. And this is brought to you by the Angel of Balance. Now, you know, these are affirmations, and I usually say them three times. It's kind of hard if you're just hearing this and you didn't take notes, so you can't do shorthand, but the show is taped. So you can hear it at 1 o'clock in the morning tonight, and you can hear it anytime you want after that. Just go to the archive of shows. So the Angel of Balance says, my body is healthy and in balance. My cells naturally regenerate and rejuvenate themselves so that all of my systems function harmoniously. I am calm and relaxed. I exercise regularly. That's a hard one for me. I enjoy my meditation. And I practice it on a regular basis. So that's your Angel of Balance. And that's just so amazing because this is exactly the stuff that Dr. Swack is telling us to do. Now, we have all this happy, happy, joy stuff. And the next segment that we do every week is, what's your rant of the week? Because we all know, we've been talking about this, if you have a trauma or an anger or a fear and you hold it inside, it's going to do all kinds of things. So, and they're not good. So what makes you so mad that you see red, like Dr. Red does, and you hold your breath, and pretty soon you look just like Dr. Red? If you have the best rant of the month, I will actually send you one of my red wigs. Because, you know, I'm partially paralyzed, and I don't style my own hair. I wear red wigs. But that is my red color. That's my real color. So, Dr. Swack, do you have a rant?
No, but I have a suggestion for people who are ranting. So I'm going to give you a technique because you know me, I empower people.
Okay.
So what I suggest you do is that while you're ranting, all right, you connect into that anger and you focus in on what you're upset about. And while you're speaking it out loud, which is a good thing to do, you cross your arms over your chest, right, like you're hugging yourself.
Uh-huh.
With your hands on your biceps.
Okay,
and while you're tuned into that intense emotion and you're speaking it and discharging it, basically tap alternating on your biceps. So I call this hugging and tapping. So you hug yourself and you tap with your hands, the palms of your hands or your fingertips, alternating on your biceps while you rant. Now, if you do that, it takes about 2 to 3 minutes. It literally releases at all your levels, including your body level. It releases that negative emotion completely.
Wow.
Yes.
That is so. Now, will it take away that one rant and then another one's going to come up and you can do the same thing?
Absolutely. That would be great. Feel free to use this on everything.
Well, you know, when I fix something, something worse shows up and I'm going, wait a minute, I just fixed that. So it's that onion thing. We have so many layers.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I have clients come in, and initially they often cry in my office because they come in trauma and they're in, you know, a lot of emotional pain, not physical pain. And so I put Kleenex right next to them, and then I tell them, tell me all about it. And they talk to me, and they start crying and whatever. And I say, well, while you're talking, here's a easy stress release technique, just hug yourself and start tapping alternating on your biceps. And they say, oh, okay. And then I say, now tell me everything. So I coax it out of them, and they talk and talk and talk, and pretty soon after about 3 minutes they stop crying because they've been releasing what they're connecting to, and they're releasing it. And after about 5 minutes they look a little bit puzzled and they say, can I stop tapping on myself now? And I'm like, oh sure. And then they just keep talking, but now they feel calm and they feel so much better, you know. And
that's amazing.
So it's a very easy technique to just sneak in conversation.
Yeah, and you know, I'm amazed because some things, you and I both are hypnotherapists, And that's not accepted by the VA. One of the very few treatments that the VA accepts is tapping.
Yes, and it's not that they exactly accept it. What they've decided is that it's safe to use. So it's considered, I think, a level 2 treatment, but it's not a level 1 treatment. Now, a level 1 treatment is something that the VA has to offer.
Oh, rats.
Yes, so level 2 treatment is, it's okay, it's not dangerous.
So they won't pay for it?
But I have colleagues that I have trained, and I train people, think about this. In 5 days, in a 5-day training with me, I can teach therapists how to treat PTSD.
Wow.
5 days with me, and I've trained them, and they can do it.
I want to know. I really want to take your treatment, your course, because all of this is so freaking. So in the last three, we have 3 minutes here, and then I think we have just a little bit afterward to wrap things up. But I know you're coming back. So. Mm-hmm. Tell us in a couple of minutes here, how on earth did you get your PTSD study done?
Oh yes, and I published it. It's on my website under media, published papers. I did 2 studies. I treated the man, the Vietnam veteran with traumatic brain injury, 100% disabled and PTSD. It took 6 sessions, although he came once a month because he came from Vermont, and he came once a month. I did double sessions back to back. But no, after the first session, he woke up and he didn't look brain damaged anymore, and his memory came back and everything. And then after the second session, maybe after the first, I can't remember the order anymore, he spontaneously stopped smoking. He had high blood pressure and he was on medication, but he was smoking because he had an addiction. He stopped doing that. He had been an alcoholic. And he stopped having any cravings for alcohol. Then, you know, after the third session, he was in good shape, and he was able to, you know, do volunteer work and show up for people, and he was happy. And he said his face was hurting him because he was smiling so much. Oh, and he started sleeping 7 hours a night instead of, like, I don't know, 3 hours a night.
Oh, I would love to get my husband sleeping. He has night terrors from PTSD.
Yeah, well, he probably then has history trauma, right?
He won't tell me.
Well, okay, so because he's blocking, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, if people have a blocking part, they avoid and repress. So that's a diagnostic indicator that he's got some sort of history trauma and it's blocked. But anyway, yeah. So, and then I did another paper where I treated women. All right, so I treated women for PTSD because not just men. One was a military and 2 were civilians, right? Because people can live in abusive relationships and develop PTSD and you know, dysfunctional families develop PTSD. So anyway, those papers are on my website, which is www.hblu.org. www.hblu.org.
And you guys all get your pens and paper and write that down. Y'all, thank you so much for coming. And remember, she's going to be back. And until then, it's okay to flip your wig. It is not okay to lose your mind. See you next week.
Thanks for tuning in this week to Dr. Red Says. Please join Dr. Sarah Young, a.k.a. Dr. Red, again next Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time and 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. In the next week, laugh in the face of adversity and move forward.